for our lecture tonight, and the best we can begin with is some verses of the Holy Quran read by Brother Hamas.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم.
صدق الله العظيم.
The rendering of the translation of these verses are
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah the Almighty from the cursed devil. Who is better in speech than one who calls men to Allah, works righteousness, and says, I am of those who bow in Islam. Nor can goodness and evil be equal. Repel evil with what is better. Then will he between whom and thee who hatred become as it were thy friend and intimate. And no one will be granted such goodness except those who exercise patience and self-restraint. None but persons of the greatest good fortune. And if at any time an incitement to discord is made to thee by the evil one, seek refuge with Allah. He is the one who hears and knows all things.
In the name of God, most merciful, most gracious, we begin our lecture and we welcome you tonight for this lecture, which is a series of so many lectures in the future. This program has begun about few weeks ago, and it will continue monthly by a speaker who will present a general lecture about Islam. The lecture tonight is Islam, the religion of humanity, and the speaker is Dr. Abdullah Omar Nasif, the General Secretary of the World Muslim League, and he is coming tonight to address us and be with us for some time. The time for the lecture will be about 45 minutes, and then I hope another 45 minutes will be for questions and answers. So, without taking your time, Dr. Omar Abdullah Omar Nasif, please proceed.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I'm not going to lecture tonight. I'll be speaking to you about some ideas and thoughts which will bring to you the concept of Islam as the religion of humanity, and it could have some basic knowledge for many of you, but I anticipate that some people wanted to know about basic concept of Islam, so I'll introduce it that way, and I think it will be much more fruitful than when we go to the discussion and question and answer session. It will be much more appropriate to understand each other. Everybody knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He has created us. We are here today, and we have been created on this earth with a message, with a duty, with a purpose. We have not been brought to this world for nothing. And that is Islam. Islam is to tell people, tell individuals, why they were created, who created them, why they are present here, what is their relation with the universe they are living in, what is the purpose of being on this earth, and what is the relation between this life and the hereafter. So it is very difficult to call Islam a religion in the Western sense, because if you go to any dictionary, you find out that religion is to believe in something and obey it, whether it's a superpower or it's a god or gods or whatever the thing you are believing in. But Islam is something different. It is much more comprehensive. It starts with the recognition of the Creator, the Lord, the Mighty, who has created every creature on this earth, and to recognize Him through His signs and through His prophets and His books, and to be aware of His greatness, His faculties, His bounties, and then believe in that in the true sense, and then worship Him according to the method He has prescribed in the book and through His angel, the last prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad. And Islam, from its meaning, from its the word of the meaning of the word itself, it has its roots from the peace. It's the religion of peace and harmony and salvation and satisfaction. So Islam is not the religion of today, the last of the religions only. It has been the call of all prophets from Adam alayhi salam, whom we believe that he is the origin of all creatures, of human beings, all human beings. He was told that the message of Islam is the way through which he should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should follow his guidance. And consequently, all prophets came to carry on the same message. Because when our Lord created us, he gave us the messengers to guide us to the straight path. Because any creature, when it is created, if we take an example of any manufacturer in this world, when the maker makes it, he puts the manual of its operation and the manual of its maintenance and whatever related to that. Similarly, when our Lord created us on this earth, he made the books to tell us the message, and he sent prophets to tell us the right way, how to learn that book and how to follow it. And whenever the people, because human beings always have their weaknesses and their difficulties and their problems, they tend to forget or deviate from the right path. So there had always been a prophet to come and correct the people and bring them to the right path. That's why in the Quran we say that every prophet has called people to be Muslims. That means to submit and surrender totally to the Lord who created them. Because this is the purpose of their presence in this earth. And this is the purpose of every religion, to come and bring the people back to the folds of the religion so that they can be in harmony with the other creatures of their Lord. So Islam, if we want to look for its identification in any book, it shows three main principles. That it is the complete submission to the Lord, to the Creator, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you have to recognize Him You have to believe in him, then you have to submit totally. All faculties and action and reactions should be with the intention that it is to please the Creator and to fulfill the message he and the orders and the commands he ordained on us. Number two, that to dissociate him from any partner, because we know in Islam Allah is the only God, there is no God except him, and he has all faculties. He is the powerful, he is the creator, he is the sustainer, he is the glorious, he is the all faculties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam has 99 faculties which are to the same. But the distortion which has come to other religions, that people cannot understand that one can be merciful, his. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the creator and he is infinite and he cannot be described and he cannot, nobody can imagine his faculties, he has all those powers. So to dissociate him from any partner and to give any credit to any other power, this is number two. This is number two in Islam. And number three, the complete submission in following the message. Because there is a certain orders and commands one has to follow. There is do's and don't. Do it and don't do it. Those commands has to be followed properly. So that is Islam in the books. But when we come to reality and practicality, it cannot be described in that one line or two lines. It is a total system of belief and conduct and action and reaction. And if we go to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. True religion in the eye of Allah is Islam. And he says, in other words, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created jinn and human beings so that they worship me. And worship in this verse, and in true sense, it's not only offering certain prayers. Because Islam, as you know, or you might know, somebody might not know, it has main pillars of Islam, on which the foundation of Islam is believing in Allah and His Prophet, offering the prayers and fasting 1 month per year, that's the month of Ramadan, and giving alms to the poor, a certain percentage of the net profit of income after a certain period of time to the poor once a year, and offering pilgrimage once in life's time to Mecca for the people who can do it. But these are the basics. This is the foundation stone of Islam. When we go deeper, we see that there is Iman. Iman, that's the total belief and complete understanding and getting involved in the belief that the God is there, and He is, as I said, He is the Creator and He is the Sustainer and He is the Mighty. So recognizing Him, very, very important, so that one knows that He has a purpose, He has a Creator, He has a meaning of His life. Number two, to believe in His angels, was the unseen, because we cannot see the angels, but we have to believe, because they are mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith, and we have other signs to know them. To believe in the prophets before Islam, before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the prophets, from Jesus, Isa, Musa, all the prophets who have been mentioned in the Quran, and there are prophets who have not been mentioned in the Quran. And to believe in the books. The books before Quran, the Injil, the Torah, and all books which have been mentioned in the Quran, which has not been mentioned. And to believe in the Day of Judgment, that this life will have an end, and there is a hereafter, which is the eternal life. And to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His great wisdom, has predestined and decided ahead and planned ahead what will happen in this earth, and that what is happening today is according to the knowledge and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then if we go deeper, we find that Islam requires man to be very sincere and devoted, and does things much perfectly. He tries to make it perfect. That is the ihsan, the highest of this belief, that one has to be perfect. He should watch his Lord all the time. He should recognize him wherever and whenever he does any action. So this is the basic principle or the basic pillars of Islam. But similarly, all actions, because now we have, if we have understood that Islam is recognizing the Lord, the Creator, knowing that He has created us with a purpose, knowing the message through the book and the angels and the prophets, and carrying on this command. So one has to adapt himself and be in harmony. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created this universe, the heavens and the earth and the moon and the mountains and the trees and all creatures of God, have certain duty to carry on. They don't have any choice. They have been ordered to do something and they are doing it. And He created man with the capability to do it or not to do it. And then He made all those creatures to be subservient to man. Man is their master. They're in His service. You know, the air, the sun, the moon, the movement of the clouds, the trees, every creature is serving man. So that when man recognizes the message for which he came, he becomes in harmony. He fits in this total harmony of the world, so he becomes Muslim. That's the meaning of Islam, again, that to be in harmony and complete submission, knowing the message and knowing the duty and knowing the responsibility and carrying on according to these rules. And there are certain faculties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires man to implement, because He knows that man has his weaknesses, he has difficulties, life has its hardships, has its passions, its livelihood, it has many things. So He has prescribed to him certain elements to protect him from the evil and protect him from his own soul, his own wishings, protect him from the society. So He gave him the accountability that all his actions and deeds are according to the Islam. It will be, he will be accounted to any action he is doing. Either it will be written on the right hand or to the left hand. There is an angel who writes it, that any action one does it, whether even a smile, without making any other action, or walking, or sleeping, or any action is to be recorded. Either it is in the right path, and according to the command and the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it is to the left, where it is against the rule and against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and against the principles of Islam. So you see, this complete awareness of man's responsibility and duty on this earth, that means every action is a kind of worship. He will be rewarded for it. And Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that even sleeping with your wife is an act of worship. So his companions were very amazed. They said, how come we are doing a sexual satisfaction and it will be an act of worship? So the Prophet ﷺ answered logically. He said, if you do it unlawfully, if you commit adultery, you will be punished for it. Because you are carrying a sinful action. So similarly, if you do it in the right way with your wife, whom you married according to the rules and the principles of Islam, then you should be rewarded for it. And also, when you raise the piece of bread to feed your child or your wife, this is an act of worship. You will be rewarded for it. So similarly, any action one does from his birth until his death is to be recorded, to the right or to the left, in the right deeds or the wrongdoing. That's why also it is in one of the main principles of Islam which has been forgotten, that man has been ordered to ordain what is good and forbid what is right. Through advising people, giving an indirect advice or talking to them directly or so, and to ordain this in the society so that people will know and recognize that this is bad and this is good, and this is in the right path and this is in the wrong path. So, Islam has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man this some of the faculties which are part of the faith, that there is the piety, the birr and taqwa. The birr is something that you have to create in yourself, the awareness, the consciousness, the kindness, the recognition that other creatures have been created with you. They have also to share with you the responsibility and share with you the life. That's why in Islam, the Islam has organized all relations of man. If we take them one by one, it has been prescribed in the Quran and in the Prophet and the tradition of in Islam, the origin of any the Sharia, I mean the law of Islam, either it is in the Quran clearly said, or it is number two in the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is his sayings and his deeds, which has been recorded in very great accuracy. Then the action of his companions, and then the good judgment of the group of Muslims who are scholars and who understand. So if we want to go back to anything, we have to find very quick and accurate reference to go back to it, to decide whether this is the right or this is the wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man this piety and sincerity and devotion and some other faculties which will make him able to recognize and distinguish between what is wrong and what is right. And this is, as I said, the distinction between man and animal, that Allah has given him the supremacy and given him the willing and the capability to decide whether to take this way or this route. وَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ نَجْدَيْنَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we guided him to the two routes, the right route and the wrong route. So he has given him in him the power to distinguish and to abstain from going to the wrong action. Because you know in the hadith that the road to Jannah, to the heavens, is very difficult. There are certain difficulties and hardships, but the way to Jahannam, to hellfire, is very easy. It is related to things which are very attractive and very close to one's passions, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the power. So in Islam, one has to recognize that there is piety, the fearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the recognition of his presence always, and then abstaining from doing the action. Because if we take an example of somebody who wants to commit adultery, and he's ready to do that, and he has a very pretty girl in front of him, and everything is ready, but when he remembers that this is an unlawful action, and he will be punished in the hereafter, if nobody watches him in this life, that he will punish in the hereafter, and he can immediately imagine or try to imagine or dream about what is the hellfire, he will immediately abstain. But what's happening to man, that he always forgets, he tends to forget and to do the action, then realize that he's done wrong thing. So Allah has equipped man with this power, to this is piety and righteousness and fearness of God and many other faculties which makes him capable of controlling himself, controlling his actions, and recognizing his duty and trying to put the boundary where he should stop. But suppose that man has, out of his weaknesses, he commits a sin, a mistake. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him also the methodology to repent, to come back, to ask for forgiveness. The concept of sin is very different from other religions which have been distorted or changed or whatever it is, that man can be sinful, but he always has direct contact to go back to his Lord and report immediately that, oh my Lord, I have committed that mistake, that sin, and I want your forgiveness. And he should also believe that Allah is the forgiver. One of his faculties, that he is the forgiver. Whatever sins we do, if we go back sincerely to him, he always there to forgive. Then one, also there is the prescription how to seek forgiveness and how to keep up with the promise. But suppose man again goes back to that sin after 1 day or two or three or 1 year or 2 years, because that's the weakness in him, he might go back. Then he again, he makes repentance and he asks forgiveness and his penalties for all sins are forgotten. And in Islam, everybody is accountable in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is responsible for his actions. Nobody can bear his sin. Nobody can come on the day of judgment and says that I'll take his deed. Because all actions will be weighed with a very accurate weight which we cannot describe. This weight will not only the balance, the scale which will weigh, also he will have a record, a very accurate record of his actions, and his hand and his tongue and his skin will be a witness on the day of judgment, and the land in which he walks or he commits a mistake, they will come as a witness. So he will immediately, when he comes for the day of judgment, he will recognize that this is his mistake and this is his good deed. So that's why everybody is accountable in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody is capable of forgiving him. He cannot go to X or Y and ask God to forgive him. He has to train himself and create this awareness to have a direct link with his Lord. Because this is Islam, this is Tawheed. This is the belief that there is nobody except his Lord who created him, who can forgive him, and he will punish him, and he will put him in the hellfire or put him in the heaven. Because he's the merciful, he's the kind, he has all the faculties and the powers. So this, the feeling of accountability, will make man know that when he commits a mistake, he doesn't have to go to any mediator or any person or any other creature. Because unfortunately we see people believe that if he goes to that saint or this saint or this man or this woman, he will be forgiven or he will be given the pardon. He has to be very realistic that he has to have a direct approach to his Lord immediately and seek his forgiveness. So this is in principle I think I've given good introduction about what is Islam, which was very difficult to describe in one word. We have to give it that much time. And then we are talking about Islam as the religion of humanity. We say that, not claiming that, but realizing that Islam has been in practice for over 1,000 years. And the Islamic civilization has prevailed in the greater part of the known world of that time, for that time, and it has given its bounties and its prosperity to everybody, indistinctly. And we recognize that the Muslims who have carried that message, they were pious and they knew their message. So we want to put some ingredients to verify this idea. Of course, you know, the message of Islam does not distinct between man and woman. It has come a universal message to every man and woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. The believer, men and women, they are supporter of each other. They go together. And everybody has, between man and men, the two sexes have their own duties on this earth. A man has to work hard for livelihood. A woman has to protect the children and bring them up and give them the right education and the right orientation so they can be good citizens in the future. Besides, it has its own role in the society. Islam has given women a great, because this is not our subject today, has given it a great dignity, because before, when I said Islam is the eternal message, it has been the message of all prophets, no doubt about that. But at the time of distortion, when Islam becomes weak in the eyes of the people, women has been bad treated. So Islam has always protected her duties and her rights rightly. So it is for man and woman, it is for all colors, no distinction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. O people, we have created you out of male and female, and we made you into tribes and groups so that you can know each other and you can recognize each other. Because if you have been treated as one race, it will be very difficult to recognize the people who are living in India or Pakistan or Nigeria or United States. So Allah has created us, one of His signs that He created us with different colors and different shades of colors and different shapes, and you know those minor details. So it is for everybody, for every. Allah has created us, one of His signs that He created us with different colors and different shades of colors and different shapes, and you know those minor details. So it is for everybody, for every color. There is no distinction. On the contrary, Islam requires people to believe that every man is equal to you. You cannot be better than him. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The better of you is that who is more pious. And nobody can know piety, because this is something inside. So that one, everyone has to believe too. If he's a true Muslim, he has to believe he's a brother of other human beings. He's equally. And on the Day of Judgment, Allah will know who is better. So I don't have to go into that fight. And Islam also fights those prejudices and racism and all kind of nationalism, which will people think that they are the highest race, they are the best of the nation. This kind of action is very much against the message of Islam. Islam requires people to know that everybody is equal in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each group also equal. There is no race which is supreme to the other race. All races are the same, and they will be accountable in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then also the message of Islam has no boundary. It is for everybody on this earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran always called the mankind, "O mankind, O mankind, come to my mercy, come to my bounty." So there has always in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call people indistinctively. And He has given them from His bounties undistinguishedly. The believer and the non-believer, he will make use of the air, of the water, of the all resources which are there in the earth. There is no distinction. The distinction comes that the believer will have one advantage that he will gain in this life and he will gain in the hereafter. And this is the main thing he is gaining. And Islam also has laid down the rules and the regulations which regulate the action between man and other creatures, between man and his parents, man and his wife, man and his children, man and his neighbors. Also the neighbors, even Islam gives even details about how you should treat your neighbor, how you should bear his difficulties also if he's bad the neighbor. And also the relation between man and his community, the small community and the large community and the ummah or the whole nation in general. So that we also, it emphasizes that the human value, the human being is a valuable asset in this earth, and one has to protect and one has to care for. Also Islam puts the regulations and the rules as far as the relation of nations with the nation, because these international relations have caused a lot of difficulties and problems. The aggression and the colonization and the fighting and the whatever, the things which have noticed, especially in the last 50 years or more. This is against Islam totally. Some of the misconceptions about Islam, many writers write that Islam has spread through the sword, the power of the sword. But we have the proof from the Quran and from the deeds of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, that war in Islam is only a mean. It is not a goal in itself. If you cannot do something, you have to use the arm for a certain period with a certain regulations and very direct and important rules. In Islam, how to carry on the war and how to protect the civilians, and how to protect properties, how to protect farms and trees, how to protect environment. It is part of the behavior through war. And then the war should end. وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهُ. If they call for peace, you immediately go to peace. As you were fighting for a reason, and the reason is no more there. They're calling you for peace, you go to peace. Today we can see in all media, unfortunately, Islam misrepresented intentionally or unintentionally that whatever is happening in Lebanon or in somewhere else, this kind of harming the civilians, kidnapping planes, kidnapping people, bad treating of people, this is against Islam totally. Islam does not approve such thing. But unfortunately, Muslims today do not represent Islam. And this is some other point, maybe a subject of another lecture. And so that Islam protects human beings and humanity and human settlement even during the war. One has to be aware that he is carrying this war for a purpose, because he knows that he will be accountable for this action. And we know the story of Ali radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet, when he was inside the battlefield and one man spitted in his face. So he stopped fighting. He said, I'm not going to fight you because you harm me personally. And am I fighting a cause? So that I will stop. I will not deal with you. He left him and he went to another person. So that shows that Muslims, even when they are in war, they have to realize that human beings to be respected and protected. Islam also is the religion of justice. It has come to establish justice. And if we read the history of Islamic spreading of Islam in the early time of the Prophet ﷺ, we find that as soon as any battle ends, people are safe. And they were a ruler will be appointed for them to implement justice and implement good, that everybody should have his right. And it is very, very important that one should remember that justice has always been the Islam has come for justice, because I explained in the beginning, it is to bring man in harmony with his environment, with his fellowship, human beings, with everything. So he has to also to know that to promote justice is part of the worship which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to carry and wants him to do it. Also Islam, the religion of peace, as I said, Islam calls for any positive action. In Islam, the wisdom cannot be gained. The wisdom is a bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to man, that he will be capable despite his education. Education is something, a means through which he can gain more knowledge. But the wisdom is something he has. It is implemented. It can grow and increase with piety and devotion and coming closer to the religion and fit in harmony with the religion, then Allah will give the guidance and the wisdom which is very much needed to promote this human life. So we can recognize that Muslims have been fluctuating up and down. Islam, I can represent Islam as a beam of light which is being projected. And whenever Muslims went up to that light, they were doing fine and they were civilized and they were promoting justice and peace and harmony in this earth. And whenever they fell down, they were going astray and they were suffering, as we are seeing today. I can mention the story of one French priest who came to Islam, and then he was reading about Islam for many years, and he became Muslim, and he fully recognized that Islam is the last religion and it is the perfect one which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected from any changes. But when he came to Algeria, or I don't know where in North Africa, he immediately said that I thank my God that he guided me to Islam before I know the Muslims. Because when he came to know the Muslims, he found the difference. Because as I said, they are below the standard. And in history there has been a curve going up and down. But this Islam will be protected until the day of judgment, because this is the willing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For other religions, he said that the people will protect the books and they are asked to keep the religion intact. But for this religion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have brought down this book and we protect it. That's why wherever you go, you see that people can memorize the Quran from the beginning until the end. There are people who have been without knowing, unconsciously, They memorize the Quran from one cover to another cover, and other people who know the meaning, and other people will interpret it. So that is the thing which makes this religion continuous, and it will continue, inshallah. So, I want to end by saying that Islam is the religion which cannot be expressed in the word religion. It is a complete code of life, system of life, a system of existence through which one recognizes his Lord, recognizes his message, recognizes his duties towards the other and his responsibilities, and recognizes how he should react and how he should act and how he should behave and how he should live on this earth, and how he should always remember his Lord, that he's there, he's watching him, he's there to accept his repentance, he's there to give him his reward, he's there to guide him whenever he needs guidance. And that is simply makes Islam the religion of humanity. I thank you very much.
Dr. Abdullah.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Abdullah.
Jazakallahu khairan. For this lecture and also for giving us plenty of time to ask questions and to discuss the topic of this lecture. I haven't had any problems with keeping the time because I have very good and disciplined lecturer.
It took 40 minutes.
Yeah, about 40 minutes. So now we will entertain the questions, and we will begin with the questions from the floor. If you are interested to ask a question, please you can come forward and speak from the microphone. We have one on the right and one on the left. They are in the alleys, and you can ask questions, please, now.
I want to mention about one brother who died yesterday, who is from Philippines. His name is Abdul Karim. Was very active in this program. Became Muslim a few months ago. He died yesterday in an accident. So you pray for him and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and put him in the paradise, inshallah.
We have some sisters also in the other hall. If they are interested to ask questions, please. Go ahead. I have the headphones and I can pick up your questions easily. Please, if you want to ask a question, go ahead.
I'd like to ask why we are given this life. Why this life? What is the purpose of this life? Or rather, if I elaborate this one, we have the universe is there, we are there, and the entire whatever has been God has created all these things. Why?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his eternal wisdom has wanted things to happen. He is the master and he is the creator. And he wanted to demonstrate that he can create creatures who are capable of doing mistakes and wrongdoings, and still they carry on properly, and they are elevated above all his creatures, even the angels. Man, when he becomes pious and recognizes his message, he's even better than angel. But when he goes to his passions and his desires and he forgets the message, he goes even below animal. So it is very difficult to say why, because we have been created here, no doubt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and we are here on this earth. So we can know, and we know that this is manifestation of the creature of Allah, and he wanted to prove that he can do it. When he created Adam in the Quran, he said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa." He said that I want to create a viceroy, somebody to represent me in this earth, who carry on my message. So the angel said, "You'll create a creature who will do bad things in this earth." He said, "I know what is best, and I know what will happen." So we are divided because to manifest the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given man that honor to do it. So we are not only servants of God, because many Muslims will act, and many other religions even, they say we are servants of God, but we are not only servants. He has honored us to be the viceroy of God. We are, everybody can represent God on this earth? I don't know if I answered the question.
Thank you very much. Any questions, please? Yes.
Assalamu alaikum. I would like to ask the question about what you have just mentioned about the malaika, the angels, which how did they know that before the creation of the human beings that they are going to do bad things?
There are two theories. One is that some people say that there were some other human beings, not human beings, some creatures like men who have been created maybe on this earth or maybe on other planets. And some people say because they anticipated, because they are the highest in the, as far as the worship is concerned. They are only created for worship. They do nothing except the action of worship. So they thought that whoever comes will be below their standard.
Thank you very much. Any questions? We can entertain some of the questions we have here. I think this is a very elementary, but a question we can ask if we don't have questions from the floor. What's the way to know Islam? And what's your advice to the new Muslim?
I think every man in his consciousness, he looks for some kind of power or unimaginable superpower to which he submits. He thinks that he's poor at the time of hardships and time of illness. He thinks of something super. So one only knows that there is something, the unseen, which has created him. So he has to develop that by reading and looking into the books, by contacting people and knowing much more, trying to find the Quran and try to read in it, because one should not fear that he cannot, because this is the book we know, to us as Muslims, this is the word of God which has been recorded accurately and we can read it. He can also ask other experiences of people. And for the first comer to Islam, my advice that he should learn more. Because Islam, as I tried to describe in the beginning, is an endless, it's a lifetime experience. And one learns every day new things until his death. And if he lives for 1,000 years as Nuh alayhi salam lived, or maybe more, he will learn more. So Islam is not limited. It is not a book which you can read. There are books, very useful books. For example, Islam in Focus by Hamoud Abdel-Ati is one of the best books in English one can refer to. But this is only will give you some glimpses of Islam. You have to read more and don't be in hurry. And don't feel, for a newcomer to Islam, don't feel the, any inferior complexity. You might be better than a Muslim who have been Muslim for 70 years in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Islam, when you come to Islam, all sins are forgiven. You start a new life, a new page. So you should know that from now you a new page and you new accounting book. And your only good deeds are there. And whatever Muslims are doing, not necessarily it is Islam. But there are good the people whom you can go and ask. And this is the Quran and there is the Hadith. And you always have to learn from somebody. You cannot learn it by yourself.
Thank you very much. We have a question from the sisters, please. Would you like to repeat the question so that I can write it down? Thank you very much. The question is there any explanation for the Darwin theory in Islam? Can we explain Darwin theory and what's our position as Muslims toward this theory?
By the way, being a geologist, I was taught that man is coming from monkey or from other animals. And this is, of course, against Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمَّا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have elevated man. We have given him the supremacy. And he is not, he does not resemble any of the creatures in that sense. So the theory of Darwin in itself, it has always has been obsolete now. I think there is a big movement in the United States against it and in other parts of Europe. But why we should make it so difficult? to try to find the relation between man and apes, and between apes and other animals, and go to the amoeba. While the all creatures are here, the amoeba is there, which is an animal with one cell, and the apes are there, and all animals are there. So in Islam, man in its present form is an ancestor of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam from mud, and then he put him in him from his soul the power, because man is made of body, which is material, and a spirit, which we cannot recognize, and the soul. So he put in his in him that from his soul, and he became Adam. And from Adam, Hawa was created, Eve was created, then the whole creatures. So it should not be, we should not look into it in a material sense, because without spirit, we cannot live in this earth. If we think materially only, then everything will be complicated, and we cannot understand many things.
Okay, thank you very much. We have a question. It goes, can you throw some light on the aspect of belief that Jesus will come back on doomsday? What will be his role on the on that day? Of course, we believe Muslims that Jesus will come before doomsday. He will come at a time approaching the end of the world, but it's not doomsday.
I think you answered, because for Muslims to believe that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, is a prophet, he was created miraculously without a father from a virgin mother, Virgin Mary, and he has spoken in his, when he was in the creed, when he was born, he was speaking to the people to tell them that he has no father and he was created from Mary. And we believe that he has not been crucified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised him in a way which we cannot realize, and that he will come back before the day of judgment, but he will be Muslim. He was a Muslim, and he will be a Muslim. I mean, he submit totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay, thank you very much.
And his role, he was asking about his role.
Yeah.
He will be calling people to Islam again, because every prophet comes with the same message. So there is no contradiction with Islam, because he will be calling people to Islam.
Okay, we have a question of definitions. What is the difference between Allah, God, and the Bible, the Quran? The difference between Allah, God, and then the Bible and the Quran.
Well, God is a concept which is very secular, in the sense that people used to worship all those powers and make them gods. So there was a god for wind, and god for fire, and god for all those gods. So this concept of God, in that sense, is a very dangerous one. But when we say Almighty God, we mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the only God. He has no partners, no resemblance. He was not begotten. He will not give birth, and all those faculties. And we cannot imagine, because if you talk to a child in the tomb of his mother, he's inside the mother, and you tell him that this life has this aspect, you cannot know it. So we don't know it, and we cannot imagine. We know him through his messengers and his books and his signs on this earth, and the accurate rules he put in the universe, and the movement of the stars, and the movement of the planets, and all those things. So we know him from his science, because people who claim that we have been created of nothing, or we were created by chance or by accident, it cannot be believed, because we are not seeing that happening today. And moreover, nobody claimed that he created man. Along history, nobody came and claimed that he created man. So we know that Allah, he is the creator, and he is the only God. So we have to distinguish. When we say Allah, there is no name resembling him. Allah means one thing, that the only God who is in this, who is everywhere. Bible in Islam, when you talk to any Muslim and tell him Bible, his mind will go to the Injil, which was the book of God, and which has been given to Isa alayhi salam, and through which he called Bani Israel, or the children of Israel, to submit totally to their Lord, or who called them for Islam. And the Quran is the book of God. This is the word, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has been written by people. It has been sent down through angel Jibreel, angel, who brought it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along 23 years.
Okay, thank you very much. There is a question. It goes, believing in the day of judgment is one of the articles of faith. May I know if there would be some signs in case this day is quite approaching?
I think there are books written on this science of before the day of judgment, and this is one of the.
Yes.
I have one question. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you very much. No, we will first of all answer the question. We the science, and then we go back to the question she asked.
When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a long hadith in the book of Sirah that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting down in the front of his companions, and somebody came from outside and sat at the Prophet and was asking him, "What is Islam and what is Iman and what is Ihsan?" And then he said, "When is the day of judgment?" He said, "This is nobody knows, neither myself nor yourself. Nobody knows the time when the day of judgment will come." He said, "Then are there any signs?" So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, there are many signs. One of them," he gave many signs which are happening today. It is very difficult. I said, there are two or three books which will tell you those signs. There are great signs and small signs, and we are seeing today. One of which comes to my mind now, that the Bedouins who are sheep grazers will be building skyscrapers, what's happening today. Or, for example, the time will come when people will go to mosques on beds of steel, like we are going in cars today. Or similarly, there are many signs, but we should not pay attention, much attention to that. We should expect it any time, because the day of judgment could come without any sign, or with some of the signs. So we should not depend that some of the signs did not appear, and we should wait until those signs appear, and then the day of judgment will come. You should be ready for accountability every day and night.
Thank you very much. We'll go to the sister's question. She asked, how can we show our love to Allah or to God? Is it by being good and sincere and nice with people, or with something else?
There is hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't want to say it in Arabic because the time is limited, that the best thing man should show, or man or woman should show love to me, is to obey my order, commands, the prayers and the fasting and everything. And my servant, this is the hadith, my servant will be closer to me when he also do the nawafil. The nawafil is something additional. You say that there are five prayers per day, but after each prayer you can pray two rak'ahs or four. You can pray before noon, you can pray at night, you can fast some other days rather than Ramadan, you can give charity to the poor, you can be kind to animals or to all creatures. So this thing bring you closer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when man does that, he becomes so close to me that any action of his will be according to my command. It will be fitting to my command, and he will be very close to me. So by doing good actions, but not forgetting about the principles of Islam. I mean, if one leaves the prayers and the fasting and he says, "I want to give charity to the poor and I want to do good things and I have to be kind to animals," and that's enough. This is not enough. Because I'll give an example. If a student goes to the university or to any school, and he will, first of all, he will know the curriculum and the requirements and the credit hours he should take. And he knows that unless he carry on successfully in each course, he will not be given the degree. So if somebody comes, like the football players in some of the universities, they will come and they don't carry on the hours. They will stick there and they are given some kind of privilege to stay. This is not acceptable in Islam. One has to fulfill the credit hours, then he can have additional hours doing here and there, and it will be he'll be much more perfect, and it'll give him greater award in this life.
Thank you very much, Dr. Abdullah. Would you please clarify the principle of jihad, which is now